Almighty God, be with us through your word read and preached now. Comfort hearts, Lord, where we mourn and grieve. Give us your spirit to sustain and strengthen. And Lord, encourage us with a joy that transcends sorrow because of the resurrection of the dead found only in Jesus. We give ourselves completely to your love and care. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're gathered here today for the burial rite of a child of God, a sheep of Christ's own fold, a lamb of his own flock, a sinner of his own redeeming. A Christian funeral is about God, his victory over sin, death, and the grave that has been exemplified in the life of one of his saints. And in that victory, we stand here today to declare boldly, in the context of the life and death of Father David, that death is not permitted the final word. It's not permitted the final word in his life because Christ died and rose from the dead, because Jesus won. David has not lost. In Christ, he has won. Father David, through faith and repentance, was baptized into that very victory. He was baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. He was raised to that newness of life in Christ. You see, this funeral is the culmination of his baptism. His funeral sermon has been preached already when he was plunged into that flood and cleansed of all his sin by the blood of Jesus and raised to new life in him. And from that day until now, redeeming love has been his theme. And it continues to be the theme of his life even now, because his life has not ended, but has changed. And so we gather here before God to rejoice. In the midst of our sorrow and grief, because Jesus has overcome the grave for David. Jesus has overcome the grave for you. For me. David still lives. And as one of our three-year-olds here, Elias Bissell, so profoundly said, this was reported to me, he is not dying anymore.
Amen.
This is what it means when we say that life has not ended, but has changed. David still lives. But no longer dies. Sarah. He lives because of Jesus. Be encouraged by God today. John and the rest of the family, be encouraged by God today. David lives. He lives in our Lord's presence, seeing his Lord face to face. He lives because Jesus lives. His life has not ended. In Christ, even though our bodies die, our lives are not over. Death is not permitted that final word. Indeed, death is no longer even a part of Father David's story. It is in the previous chapter. As St. Paul declares so eloquently, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we grieve and weep here today, we do not do so as those who are without a true and confident hope, a certain and unwavering knowledge of the victory of God in Jesus for David and for our world. Father, David Jennings George was born November 3rd, 1949, in Elkins, West Virginia, to the late Calvin and Retha George. He was a great man. And I'd fight anyone who said otherwise. He was a great man because he did not strive to be great. Rather, he sought at every turn to make Jesus known, to make Jesus great, just like John the Baptist, who said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And because he was such a man, he was a good husband to you, Sarah, for 51 years. I was so glad we got to celebrate last year that 50th anniversary. He was a good father to you, John, and to his late daughter, Laura. He's a good father-in-law to you, Jill, and to Micah. A good grandfather to you, Zach, Parker, Joel, Noah. He was a good friend to so many. He was a good priest to everyone that walked through those doors. What more can I say of this man other than this? He knew Jesus, and we saw Jesus in him. We saw Jesus in his joy. Not some facade, but a true Christian joy that persisted even in the midst of suffering and pain, even in the midst of tears. We saw Jesus in his love for children. We heard so many stories last night of his love for children. He loved to hear our children cry and make entirely too much noise during Eucharistic prayers. He saw it as a sign of life, vitality. He made each child that was baptized here a handmade wooden cross of some sort for when they were baptized. He loved our children, and we saw Jesus in that love. We saw Jesus in the way he cared for folks, especially those who were lonely, hurting, in need. Those who suffered from disability or their families, we saw Jesus in the way he cared for them. We saw Jesus in his life-on-life mentoring of other men. We saw Jesus in his weeping with those who weep. We saw Jesus in his suffering, especially these last 3 years. And his suffering these past 3 years did not relegate his joy, his love for children, his care for others, his mentoring or his ability to weep with others. His suffering did not relegate these to the margins of his life in order to focus more on himself. Rather, it seemed by God's grace and by his empowerment, as if his suffering intensified them among us, made them ever more evident in our eyes. This was so because Father David gave his suffering to Jesus. I can still remember very early on in the diagnosis, when he received the diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, that he wanted his example of suffering through this cancer to be there for the church, and particularly for you, Christ Church. He desired that in some way Jesus would be made known through what he suffered, and that his suffering might be a participation in the very sufferings of Jesus, as St. Paul expresses to the church at Colossae. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word, Jesus, fully known. As I mentioned this past Sunday, Father David found so much strength to face and endure his suffering from the character of God that he found revealed in Genesis 16, in God's interaction with Hagar, when he met her in her suffering. In that story, Hagar gives God a name, only one in the Old Testament to do so. And that name means the God who sees me. David clung to that. That even in the midst of 3 years of radiation, chemo, reduced ability, even in those 3 years, God was with him. He saw him. He had his back. In one of his last sermons here at Christ Church, in June of 2023, entitled Sharing in Christ's Sufferings, Father David said this: I have always said that I want God to be glorified in all that occurs in my life due to this illness, and that I want people to see what an awesome God he is, who sees us in all of our troubles. I have no desire for this to be about me, but I do welcome God using me to demonstrate his great love and sovereign care for us. I tell you, and I want you to hear this, it's not about me, it's about God. What he is doing to strengthen the faith of his people through me. It's about the building up of his kingdom, where his people are growing in their faith and understanding of God's great love for them. End quote. Praise be to God for his marvelous work in this man. In him, we saw Jesus, clear as day. In his experience with suffering, we saw the God who sees me, who sees you, bearing it with him, strengthening him for the task that was before him. And now, by Christ's death on the cross, and by God's great power that raised Jesus from the dead, Father David now sees God face to face. That great beatific vision, the goal of salvation, the joy of eternal life, Father David now sees his Lord face to face. That vision is no longer a one-way street. As Job declared in our reading, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." I shall see God. "Whom I shall see for myself." No more signs, no more symbols. "Whom I will see for myself. And my eyes shall behold and not another." Father David finally sees the one who has always been there with him, who has always seen him, who has always been carrying him along in the midst of his life. His great desire has now been fulfilled, a desire that King David, his namesake, expressed in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, to see, to gaze upon the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. Father David concluded that sermon with these words, and I think they are an apt conclusion to this sermon and an epitaph for his life. Jesus, the King of Kings, has overcome sin, death, destruction, and suffering. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.